Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back, welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station of people we had to start off. Brian just had to be the Grim Reaper, and I want him to be able to tell y'all all about it. I am going to squarely start off this show throwing Brian Hall and Steve Rummage right under the bus. Brian Hall, what did you have to tell him?
All right, so Boss Man is texting us right now. He's got us in a group chat. Boss Man meaning Drew Diener.
Right.
He's got me, Phil Baker,
yep.
Marcus, and Mark Ennis in this group text. There's no Steve Rummage.
There's
in this
no
group
Steve
text,
Rummage in the
tell.
Group text message.
So he sends us the message. You know, I'm down at ACC Media Days, and we're going to be getting players a lot this hour.
Indeed.
So we're just going to be kind of popping in and out. Well, for those of y'all who don't understand the production side of the board,
right?
There
explain
is
to them,
one
right.
access point. So
yep.
meaning only one person can connect in from a remote location to the studio at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So the intro music starts, and I have the access point already in queue, and in queue means that people can talk to me mm-hmm. and I can hear them, but it doesn't go over the air.
Right.
And so I hear Steve Rummage be like, "Hey, Brian, I'm connected." And I'm like, oh no,
my brother, not today.
And so I gave Marcus a look. I was like, "Steve's connected." I was like, "He can't be connected." I was like, "Drew just texted us about the media days." I was like, "I'm going to tell him to call in." So I told him to call in. He said he was going to text you, and he's sounded like he's probably going to dip out of the show because it's going to be a lot of moving parts.
Go enjoy your vacation, Steve Rummage, but I hate that Brian had to tell you.
He was literally.
Yeah, not today.
The intro music had already started, and that's when we told him that he wasn't going to be on the show today.
He was probably happy about that. He's on vacation. He's in Florida. My goodness. Go enjoy yourself, Steve. Okay, so this is what I guess you gave everybody kind of the summary for what today is going to be like. It's going to be a lot of moving parts. We have Drew Diener, Mark Ennis down at ACC Media Day trying to grab as much sound for as many interviews and develop as many relationships as they can with ESPN Louisville. That's what Media Day is. That's what it's designed to do. So we want to be able to take advantage of every part of that. So, yeah, both of these days have kind of been a little, you know, helter skelter.
We also already have a couple good ones. We had Scott Satterfield on earlier, and we had C.J. Avery on earlier, but the Louisville players are kind of starting to make their rounds today. Mm-hmm. Their media assignments are today, so we'll get a lot of the
While they're stealing our players, we'll be stealing everybody else's, and we'll be stealing coaches. And like I said, and to be able to record the sound simultaneously, we kind of have to be available to get these interviews on on tap. So that's what it's going to be like. So yeah, just kind of sit back and just enjoy. Like I said, feel free to jump in. So this is not going to be the most structured show. I almost started off the show yelling at the Louisville fan base over the last 24 hours, Brian. I think I have never been, it's comparable, my disappointment with the Louisville fan base has reached epic proportions, so much so that I was venting to Dan Issel about the Louisville fan base.
To Dan?
That doesn't sound like me, does it?
No, not at all. Why would you vent to a Kentucky guy?
Because it didn't matter at that point. I was so, I basically did,
Because he's like, yeah, I know.
I basically did the thing that that women do in my history. Like, blanket statement. Women do in my history. Oh, I was talking to my friend about you. And I'm like, oh, God. Once you say that, like, once a lady, in my history, and gentlemen, I don't know how y'all feel about this one. Once a woman tells you she was telling somebody else about something you did, I'm done. I'm done with the conversation because I'm not arguing with you. Look. Oh, he's my friend, and he said that was messed up what you did. I bet he did. Right. So, yeah, just don't tell me about it. So I basically did it. Here's the problem, Brian. Here's what the problem. Mornings are important to me. Energy, feeling right, getting the house clean. It is my daily responsibility to help people enjoy their day. This is like, it's just a challenge for me. And sometimes we got some real negative Nancys out here, and it's hard work doing it.
You're right, though, man. Like, the way you wake up kind of dictates the day, because, you know, if I get into a tizzy like early in the morning over something because somebody's bugging me about something, or somebody texts me something early and it's kind of, you know, whining or complaining about something, then all of a sudden it sets the mood for the rest
of it. Yeah, it just and again, not only my mood is passed along to the, you know, to the world, to the entire world that's sitting holding still listening to Middays with Marcus Maybin. So, Brian, of course, the barometer of my day is the morning traffic. Now, I will say this. I'm not a rager. I'm not a traffic rager. I'm not, I don't honk the horns. By the way, Dan Issel said he honks the horn really quick at people at lights. I was like, really?
I can see that out there.
That kind of surprised me. So, I'm not a pull up beside and stare in people's window and, yeah, you jazz. You know, I'm not.
I'll say this. Dan doesn't take no trash from anybody.
I have heard that as well. So here's the thing. I'm not a rager. So I understand people making moves in the morning. I understand people trying to do. But here's the problem. I'm going to bring this all back to what's important to me and to you all. There was a car about two cars up. It was a truck. About two, three cars and trucks up. It had nine of us on Gene Snyder in the left lane doing 63. And it was like, and of course, you can't get mad at the people on the right because they're going the exact speed limit like they should.
As Locke would say, don't drive slow and fast.
Listen. I didn't like, I mean, I was curious about why he always ended that. But it didn't really like dawn on me till I heard it a couple weeks in a row. And I'm like, that's how important it is that he ends the show with this as a daily reminder. So this truck was just screwing up the Gene Snyder traffic. It eventually gets out the way. And I'm like, I cannot wait to pull up beside, you know, when the traffic actually sped up, I cannot wait.
Everybody
to move
gives
up.
The guy the stare down as they walk by or drive by.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Everybody had just lost so much time on their morning commute that they didn't even have time to give them the stare down, right? Because I was looking for the brakes. Like, I wasn't going to get mad at every car whose brake lights slowed down right by that red truck, right? Man, I got up to my turn to look at the red truck, Brian, it was Louisville Cardinaled out. It was mirror. It was license plate. It was candy apple red. It was seats on the inside.
And then what happened?
That's the point. Steve said it last week. He said his mood instantly changes when he sees it's a Louisville fan that he's mad at in traffic. So here's the thing. I laughed because I thought about Steve at that moment. And I tried to mind my business. Brian, for the rest of my commute in there, it was nothing but Louisville license plates slowing down everywhere. Now, this is what I tried to do in my brain. I tried this, y'all. This is how you justify dating women you shouldn't be dating.
What do you mean, out of your league?
No. This is what I did to justify all these Louisville fans driving like crap. Because if I'm a Kentucky fan, I'm just like, Louisville, is they have the worst job. I would have blamed no Kentucky fan to say, if you join me the last two commutes, I wouldn't mind if they said, if I had a Kentucky fan riding with me, Kitty Kroger or something, if she was riding with me and she says, y'all got the worst driving, and y'all Louisville fans are the worst drivers, I would look right over and say, girl, you're right. we're the worst. So here's the thing. To justify it, Brian, at the end of the day, this is what I did. Maybe Louisville fans just happy right now.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just so happy.
They're just having a good Sunday stroll.
That they're just enjoying their commute a little bit. That's what I did to try to justify horrible left lane driving by my Louisville fans.
It's also a justification if you ever end up dating a girl who's a Kentucky fan. You can say, well, at least you don't drive like those Louisville fans.
Steve said, I can't do that. But you get my point. Louisville fans, you got to do better. Listen, if you don't always drive like you're late, just stay out the left lane. Just stay out of the left lane. Listen, it doesn't matter how fast you're going in the left lane. Somebody behind you wants to go faster. So if you have the opportunity to be in the right lane instead of the left lane, get in the right lane. People behind you want, they have something more important than you. If you're, listen, shout out to the police. I had to do this. I'm trying to make y'all life easier. Get out of the way. The slow traffic is what causes more accidents than the fast traffic. Get out of the way.
I am that driver that will get in the fast lane to pass somebody, and then I'll get back over to the right lane, and I'll hang out in the right lane until I meet the next car up in line.
Yes.
And then I'll wait for a passing opportunity. Yes. And pass. That's the way I do
it. Yes, people, I've driven on the Autobahn. I've driven in Beirut. I've driven everywhere on the planet.
How is traffic over there?
Oh, my God, Brian. Brian, I got to Lebanon at 2:30 in the morning. I had problems at the border. They tried to...
He's not talking about Lebanon Junction.
Yeah, people. Yeah, no. Lebanon. Middle East, Mediterranean, Lebanon. I'm in Lebanon, Brian. I arrived there 2:30 in the morning. Not a bunch of traffic, right? They tried to extort me at the airport, Brian.
Really?
Yeah, they tried to charge me money to get through customs. I was like, dude, I'm not paying you. Like, but it's like, okay, what y'all gonna put me back on the plane? Like, so then I had to call my little connect, you know, dude over there. It's like, dude, they're trying to like say I gotta pay it. They literally was trying to shake me down at the airport when I first got there. So anyway,
be like, nah, I just won't take the pat down. I'm good.
Just no, I'm not paying you to cross this border, right? Okay. So anyway, 2:30 in the morning, Brian. I get the dude picks me up. It's a beat up car. I'm like, dude, this picking me up in this. You know what I'm saying? Man, we get on the road. This dude, there are no lines. Did you know that?
No.
There are no traffic lines. So Imagine Gene Snyder with no traffic lines.
Oh, my God.
Shoulders, everything's fair game in Lebanon. Actually, I think I have some video that I might post.
Yeah.
I got some video driving in these places. So anyway, there are no lines. So two cars become three wide in a heartbeat. This is real Bristol driving, right? But I can't really – I mean, just the way he's – driving in the middle of the road, and then when he gets up on, I mean, the way he's even passing a few cars out here. Boy, you talk, what's that called? The old bar?
The.
No. The bar. Yeah.
SHIT bar.
Yes. Yes. I got one hand on the dashboard, one hand up on that bar. The dude's just talking to me. You know, it's a dude, just a short dude with glasses. I'm like, you're. You're driving insane, dude. Like, what are you doing? But he's just like.
It's like New York City times 10.
Yeah. New York doesn't compare. Trust me. Listen, so he's just like, and then he's like, oh, this is Lebanon. He said, don't worry, you'll get used to it. This is Lebanon. You know, just, you know, I'm like, okay. So listen, I get to the hotel. Soon as I check in, my heart is like, oh my God. Like, that was insane. And it was probably a 13-mile drive of hell, right? Of the scariest drive, right? Brian, when I tell you the next day when they had to pick us up and we started driving in real daytime traffic, it is pandemonium, Brian. There are no lines, Brian. Imagine Waterston with no lines.
I mean, I can't, and I hate to do this, but I couldn't imagine like the old people who would just like veer to the side and just be like riding the rail.
No, no, they are animals too. Everybody, and I'm telling you, it's road rage. It's exciting.
It's just a free for all.
Listen, it's a free for all. It's exciting. Listen, I'll.
Do they not have like police that stop traffic incidents? They don't do traffic incidents.
No. If you get in a wreck or something, if you need an ambulance or something, they might, you know, get you off the side of the road, but you're not fitting on a traffic report. I mean, you have a couple of police somewhere around the city.
But they don't do like speeding tickets driving reckless.
Oh no. And no, like it's funny because there's a bunch of trashed out cars, and then the fly cars, the BMWs. There's a lot of BMWs, a lot of Benzes, but they're the old kind. You know what I'm saying? But they drive insane. Like again, I'm not exaggerating, and I'm sorry y'all that I just got carried away on thinking about this. This y'all just gotta enjoy this with me. Imagine Waterston Expressway, y'all, without any lines. The shoulder is fair game, and people are walking on the shoulders too, so you could catch a body, Brian. Literally, like, it's up to the pedestrian to stay out the way when, you know, if you're walking, because like it's not a lot of organized sidewalks in a lot of areas either. So like, Brian, it sucked, but when you got used to it, Brian, it was on. So I think we probably got into 3 accidents, what we would qualify as accidents in the United States, but they weren't. You were on my phone? Charles, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away, my man.
Morning, fellas. Morning. Marcus, I had to throw this at you, man. So I was stationed overseas for a little over 8 years, and I did 2 tours in Germany. And let me tell you, man, I can relate to exactly what you're saying, dog. There is no speed limit on the Autobahn, which, of course, that's the interstate, the highway.
Yep.
Once you get outside of city limits,
yep,
man, you're fair game. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've had to get in the right lane because, zoom, there goes a Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Zoom, no, I was going to ask you.
Audi.
Listen.
Zoom. I mean, it's like you can't even blink. And before you can even blink, man, they're gone.
Charles.
There's no speed limit over there.
Did you get those flashing lights where they're like, where they seem like they're about 2 miles back and you see those flashing lights?
Exactly. They're 2 to 3 miles behind
you. Yes.
And they're flashing, letting you know, hey, here I come.
Yes.
You need to get out of my way because I've got somewhere to go, which I really don't, but I really do.
Yes.
You know? And the taxi drivers over there, man, I mean, you're talking about no giving tickets. They don't give out tickets because everybody over there drives crazy. Just for kicks and giggles, man, if you take a taxi over there to somewhere that takes about, on average, if you drive the speed limit, about 30 minutes,
uh-huh,
I guarantee you're going to get there in 10.
Oh, yeah. Like a 6-hour trip.
Man.
Yeah, a 6-hour trip is like 2. You know, like,
yes.
if it takes you even 2 hours.
Yes, I mean, it's insane, man. And the crazy part about it is that I got so used to that that's now how I drive. That's how I drive.
Right.
Man, I mean, that's, That's crazy. And real quick before I get off here, fellas, as always, you do a great job. I love your energy. I feed off of your energy. And Marcus, when I was in the military, I was stationed at Fort Campbell, and I lived in Clarksville while I was down there stationed.
But listen, most people that worked or had something to do with Fort Campbell did live in Clarksville.
Exactly. And, man, I tell you right now, I loved it, man. I loved Clarksville, man. Everybody was nice. Everybody was hospitable. They didn't know any strangers. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm a city kid, man. I got to get used to this country life.
Right. Right. No, listen, Charles, I do appreciate that call, and I do appreciate that personal story to it. Yeah, Brian, what he's saying is the truth. Like, miles back, Brian, you look in your rear view, and all you see is quick, 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 flashing. Quick, quick, quick. And it's like this. Think about it. I'm going 120 miles an hour, and somebody goes.
So they're going like 160.
Yes. Yeah. And I said 120. And maybe I'm saying 120K.
Maybe they're going 120 and you're going 80.
No. You're going
120.
Yeah. You're going 120. But these Ferraris and Lamborghinis on you know overseas, they. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
That's family. That's royalty.
But yeah, Lebanon, at least Germany and France and all, like, at least they had lines. They had a lot of turnabouts, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of turnabouts.
It's a big thing over there.
Yeah, yeah. Turnabouts are A1. But you can cross that country, man. You can cross the continent. You can cross it. Real easy, man. Just like, you know, jumping in your car. But yeah, I don't know. Louisville, do better in the traffic. This is me. My overseas experience is why I get a little extra frustrated with the driving. I appreciate Charles passing along that thing. Okay, so Brian, I'll ask you. Normally, I'd be asking Steve. I'd be passing this along. I'd ask him for direction on this. What is more of a story? The Satterfield part of this morning? Or listen, I don't want you to try to guess the direction we're going. What do the people want to know about? Satterfield more or Oklahoma, Texas, SEC conversation and what it means for us?
I think on this particular station, people are let me say this. If I wasn't involved with radio, I wouldn't have even known ACC Media Days would be going on. Mm. But at the same time, as a Louisville fan, I am more prominent to hear about what Scott Satterfield's got to say about next year's football team than the Oklahoma-Texas, because I think everybody has their own opinions of the Oklahoma-Texas.
Right.
And we're not going to probably sway the opinions of those people. And it's pretty, I think, blanket statement for most people. Satterfield, there's a lot of moving parts.
This is what I'll do.
I'll say, you know, the national story, yeah, the Oklahoma-Texas is the bigger story, but locally and right here on 93.9, I think people are interested in Satterfield.
Put it this way. I'll set it up like this, Ryan. Satterfield did something that we all beg coaches to do, but it gives people more ammunition to want to fire Coach Satterfield than anything that happens in the fan-coach relationship. And I'll have to tell you all about it right after this commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 DeVille.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Well,
It's not Marcus Maben. It's Steve Rummage. It's Mark Ennis here in Charlotte for ACC football kickoff. And joining us now is C.J. Avery, linebacker for Louisville. Do you enjoy doing these media things?
It's okay, man. It's good to see everybody and just interact with each and every person in the ACC.
Do you do much interacting with the other players and coaches and that sort of thing when you're at these things?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, just introducing yourself, just, you know, going and talking to them for a little bit.
How difficult was it from the players' perspective last year, you know, trying to manage that whole season, maneuver the whole season with all the COVID protocols, how little contact you could have, all that sort of thing? How difficult was that? How do you think it maybe hindered you guys last year?
Right. I think, it was pretty bad. You know, it kind of sucked not being able to be in the same meeting room and things like that, having to do things virtually. So it kind of affected the camaraderie of the team, you know, looking forward to this year, getting a chance to be with each other.
So I've talked to some folks over the past, you know, day or two who say it feels like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Multiple people have said that, like the attitude, camaraderie, that sort of thing. Do you get that sense too?
Absolutely. I get that sense every day. Yes, sir.
How did you go about making a decision to go ahead and come back, you know, and take advantage of an extra year to play this year? What sort of went through that? What were you thinking about? And why did you go ahead and decide to do that?
Right. Just talking with my family, you know, just weighing my options, just knowing, you know, that I could better my future this year. And then I just wanted to go out of Louisville on the right note, you know, just make sure that I end things well, you know, just a really good season.
Last year, obviously very challenging. Do you guys still talk about it? So, like, what could be, or is it just sort of put that behind us? It was such an odd year for everybody. We'll just forget about it and go on to the next one. Like, do you still sort of linger on things happened a year ago? Or
I mean, I think you got to think about it a little bit to, you know you got to make yourself better than what you were last year. We look at the film. We watch the mistakes that we made and the things that off the field, the way that we handle things. We just try to handle that differently.
What sorts of things off the field? Like, what sorts of things you're – if you could say.
So, just things like, you know, better leadership, you know, something, okay, a way that we could have handled a situation better, you know, within the program. Just making sure that we're better in ourselves as leaders and as teammates as well.
It's been a long time since Louisville's had the same defense, same defensive coordinator for three years now, right, heading into the year three here. Like, how much more comfortable do you feel in the defense, especially taking on, you know, more of a leadership role, you know, and how nice is it to sort of have that continuity and that sort of thing, being able to anticipate, like, you know what they want you to do.
Right. It's great, man. You know, every day you wake up, you know that Coach Brown is going to call this and this versus this formation. So you get really comfortable and you be able to, you know, take more chances because you know when you can take that chance. So I think that's the biggest thing with us.
Scott came on the show, and he's going to come on here in a little bit. He has said, I think we might be able to have a top 25 defense next year. You feel confident about that too?
Absolutely. 100%.
What's going to be the strength of the defense for next year in your mind?
I think the strength is going to be our front seven, just because of those guys, the way that I've seen those guys work and, you know, the weight that they've put on and things like that. So I think our front seven is going to be really good.
It's been a while since Louisville had a really good front seven. Like, what's different to you when you look at those guys?
When I look at those guys, I just see big guys like Yaya. Ashton Gelati, he's a freshman that came in really explosive. It's going to be hard to contain him, so it's just a lot, man. All of those guys, they work together well, and I see them every day in the building just working hard.
What's the era of name, image, and likeness rights? What's it been like for you? How's that sort of? How are you navigating that? Who's helping you, if anybody? Have you done anything? Like, what sorts of things are you working on there?
So yeah, I signed with Rocketeer Sports Marketing Group in Louisville. Joey Wagner.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked and we got things going on right now. So we got things in the working, and I love it. It's amazing that we get the chance to, you know, reap what the work we put in.
Do you and your teammates sort of talk about this sort of thing? Like, there's people always are afraid it's going to be some sort of big distraction or a problem. But, you know, in the locker room, teammates, that sort of thing, you guys talk about this sort of thing?
I mean, we talk about the things that, you know, could potentially happen, you know, who could get money and things like that. But at the same time, we know that we all have to, you know, be together and play together, because in order for all of us to succeed in it, we have to make sure we're winning it and doing the right thing. So a big thing with us is just keeping the main thing, and that's playing football and working hard.
Have you allowed yourself at all? We're talking with C.J. Avery here at ACC Football Kickoff. Have you allowed yourself at all to sort of start looking at that opener in Ole Miss? Because that is an extremely good offense. You have your work cut out for you on the defensive side for that game.
Yes, sir. You know, I make sure I, you know, watching film, just, you know, breaking down the things and then seeing what they like to do each week, man. I got to make sure I watch film at least, you know, a couple times a week to make sure I'm prepared for them, because that's a really good offense, and we're all looking forward to that challenge.
What what about them in particular sort of seems extremely challenging? Because they put up points on everybody.
Right, right. The word that I can say to you is tempo. Tempo is really is the biggest thing that they do. They try to get you to where you don't line up. Sometimes the defensive lines don't even rush. So, you know, he has all day to just sit back there and throw.
Who are you looking forward to playing this year? Anybody in particular? You want them all?
I want each and every person that steps on our field and the field that we go to. I'm ready for everybody.
On the offensive side of the ball, so who sticks out to you at practice, that sort of thing? Like, oh, that guy's going to be a problem this year.
Braden Smith, slot receiver, super elusive. That guy, you know, he's from Mississippi as well, just like me. So hometown guy, you know, I'm rooting for him to, you know, have as much success. So he's a really elusive guy. Can make you miss, jump over you, you know, may put his shoulder down, try to run you over. That's just how much pride and how much, you know, passion he played with.
Any of the newcomers that have impressed you so far? Your thoughts on some, maybe guys even at your position, that sort of thing? Anybody like that?
Yeah.
You mentioned Ashton, I know.
Yeah, I mentioned Ashton. Jalen, he's a inside linebacker as well, freshman. He's doing an amazing job, really smart. He comes to work every day and puts the work in. So, yeah, him, you know, people like Amari Huggins, he's getting on track and he's making sure that he's working hard and could be a contribution this year.
All right. CJ Avery, thank you so much for the time, man. Enjoy the rest of your time, everybody.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. All right, there you go, Marcus. Appreciate you letting me drop in here. That was CJ Avery.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, just let me know. No, I'm not finished. Finished talking. Gotta start talking some trash about everybody in the company, the Patty Ice. We were just venting. Welcome back. That was Mark Ennis with CJ Avery. Again, I wouldn't be able to ask all those name, image, and likeness questions, Brian. Hey, young fella, how much do you think you're going to make on the name, image, and likeness? Listen, y'all, I have to say this right now. We have one of our guys. You have his mic on really quick. I just want to give a friendly thank you. Alex has decided to stop by the studio. Let's check that microphone to see if you're rolling.
What's up, Brian?
Oh, okay. Hit him on. Oh, well. Alex is in the building, y'all. Steve, sorry you missed out. Steve has texted me, so he's kind of tuned in and out. But we are efforting Scott Satterfield at the moment. So, as soon as Brian, I'm kind of reading his body language. Scott Satterfield is in a holding pattern between my. Okay. Mark Anderson, Scott Satterfield, take it away.
All right. Joining us now, Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield. Does it feel good? Like, do you enjoy these things? Does it feel good to be back at one of these? At least after last year when you didn't get to do anything?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it does. You know, we missed out last year. I really like it more for our guys, too. I mean, I like it for these student athletes to be able to get to experience this. And you come into a venue like this and you get to see cameras everywhere. And, you know, you got TV cameras, you got Radio Row, you got, you know, the big stage. And so. Yeah, I want these guys to experience it and then soak it all up. They work so hard. They deserve to be able to come down here and get in the spotlight a little bit. You know, last year was the only thing we had was Zoom, and that's way different. And then the interaction, the thing that we all missed out as human beings last year was to be able to interact with people. And that's what we're on earth to be able to do is interact. And so just some of the side conversations that you can't have on a Zoom, you know. We're excited about being here. We also know when we come to media days that after this, it's go time. And so this kind of kicks everything off for us as a staff. And, so we're excited about it.
So CJ said this, and I've heard others sort of say something like this, that around the facility, around the players, yep, and coaches, it feels like it did 2 years ago, mm-hmm, in terms of morale and, yep, attitude and that sort of thing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say even better than 2 years ago. You know, we were still trying to figure things out 2 years ago. Now, once we got to this point 2 years ago, yeah, it started feeling like this. But when these guys came back after Christmas, it was like a different team. They, you know, we kind of came back. We kind of went back to being normal again, you know, in our building, and going through spring practice, going through our workouts. And the care factor for each other, I think, is what the feeling is, what is different. You know, because, you know, if I'm a player and I care about my teammate beside me, then I'm not going to let him skip reps. I'm not going to let him, you know, not go hard. So to me, that's the big difference. I've been seeing that, you know, all summer and all spring. And so that's the different feeling, I think. And so when you care for somebody, you're going to give everything you have every day. And then that's going to translate once we start playing games, because this is such a fine line for winning football games. you know, we lost four games just by single digits last year, and you're coming down, it's a one-possession game, and if you don't find a way. Well, the year before we found a way, you know, because it's a fine line. It's you know, somebody's got to make a play, and I got to count on you to make the play. He's going to count on me. And that's, to me, the chemistry piece that we missed out on last year that will be so much better this year.
Could you just not develop that because of all the sort of the restrictions and inability to just be around each other?
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, we weren't even here for 4 months, you know, and then when we get back, we're in the middle of August. We don't even know if we're playing.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to figure out all the, you know, the testing and are we playing. And then, okay, we are playing because the guys in their minds are like, why are we practicing if we're not going to play? Because they didn't know. And then once you start playing, you're like, we're just trying to get to the game safe.
Yeah.
And then there's games where you don't have everybody. You got five D linemen for Virginia and Virginia Tech. You know, you just, it's hard to win when you don't.
Yeah, have I was going to ask you, like, last year, like, what was, like, the most duct tape kind of moment that you had last year? Was that the one?
It was Saturday morning at home. We're getting ready to play Virginia Tech. And we realized that we there's 11 or 12 people of our players that can't play. And we're calling guys that were not even at the hotel that, hey, we're going to need you to suit up because we don't have enough. And yet we're still going to play, you know. And last year, some guys were canceling games. We didn't have to do that, but we still played.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had, you know, two of we had five D linemen, two of them were walk ons, and they hadn't played. And you got to go out there and play Virginia Tech. And, you know, and you lose by a touchdown, and you know you got to think, well, what if we had a little bit of full roster here? You know, because he starts wearing on you over the course of the game, and not only on offense and defense, but special teams, because these guys are just taking the reps. So. That was probably the moment where you're like, oh, my gosh, you know. And then the other moment was, and this actually was a positive, we're getting ready to play the last game against Wake Forest. We don't have a center. Our next guy got the virus on Wednesday, so we don't have him. So then, you know, we had to move Austin Collins to center on like Thursday and say, you're starting. And we're getting ready to play with Wake Forest. We had started seven freshmen against Wake on offense, and we're like, holy crap, man. Let's see what happens with this. You know, but we would go out there. We
won the game.
We put 45 points on, 550 yards, won the game. So, and it was a great, great, you know, end of the season. You know, you always want to end on a win. And so that propelled you, you know, when you come back after that. So, yeah, I mean, it was obviously, it goes without saying, the most trying year that any of us have ever had to go through. And, you know, we just happen to have to do it on a national stage where everybody's looking.
We're talking with Scott Satterfield here at ACC Football Kickoff. Did you enjoy last year in this respect of not having divisions necessarily? What would you like to see the ACC do there?
I kind of liked it last year, being able to play, you know, having just one conference and everybody plays, and then you figure out at the end, you know, who are the top two teams. I like it because the second best team may be on the same side of the team that actually wins that side, you know, as opposed to, and I think that's happened a few times over the last probably 5 years. But, you know, in my perspective, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I still think you got to go out there and win games. But I did like that. One of the things I don't like is the fact that you may not see a team for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, you play them and then, you know, in a rotation, you don't see anybody from the other side, you know, 7 or 8 years after that. So, I don't really necessarily like that piece of it. And, you know, and you got some teams like in North Carolina and Wake Forest and Duke that in state, they're four teams right beside each other, but they're on different sides, you know. Okay. So, I mean, so that part of it's a little bit different. But yeah, that part was fun last year, being able to do that, knowing that you still have a chance. You know, if you only had one conference loss and you're getting toward the end of the season, you still maybe have a chance to be one of the top two at the end to play for it all, the conference championship. So, yeah, I liked it. We'll see where we end up heading.
What are you and other coaches, your staff, that sort of thing, what's the buzz about potentially OU and Texas going to the SEC? I mean, it's welcome,
man,
to the league.
Yeah, well, you know, we were checking in the hotel yesterday, and I heard about that, and I was like, is that real? What is that? You know, so last night you start looking at it, and they're like, well, there may be something to this. You know, it's very interesting to me, you know, because as you go back several years ago, I don't know how many, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, when they're talking about all this, you know, people moving around, expansion, this and that, it was a little bit scary from my perspective, because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, like I was at App State, we went through it. We were in the Southern Conference. We went to the Sun Belt. I mean, so we actually went through that move. I know Louisville went through that, you know.
With the last one out.
The last one out, yeah. So, and you're sitting there, and you're like, this is scary, you know. And because I think maybe Louisville was trying to get in the Big 12 maybe and then didn't get in it. West Virginia got in it. And then
it worked out okay.
It worked out okay. It actually worked out pretty good. So, that part of it's a little bit nerve-wracking. But, you know, obviously we're in a great league in ACC, you know, it's – as we move forward into this, you know, are there going to be super conferences? Are they going to, you know, who knows? There's been talk about that. You know, I know if that would happen, SEC would add two big-time schools, you know, to that program. You know, we had Notre Dame in ACC last year. I thought was great to be able to have them in there. It's a national brand. It's a very prestigious academic school, but also great in all their sports. I think that would be a great addition to add to the ACC. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see where this heads. We all know it's the media and the money that are driving a lot of this. And, you know, so it'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds. What I do know now is that we're in a great league. We play a lot of great institutions around this league. It's very competitive. There's a lot of great coaches. And it's fun to play in the ACC. And so, yeah, I'm excited about being here, excited about being able to compete, you know, for championships in this league.
What can you do as a staff to get the Malik Cunningham back to the sort of the way he was maybe at the end of that first year where he was one of the best quarterbacks in the country?
Yeah, you know, and you go back and you look. I mean, some of his stats last year, you know, were really good. I mean, the guy's got 55 touchdowns in the last 2 years responsible for, which is a lot. You know, and you know, to me, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, minus the turnovers, which you can't minus them. You got to get rid of them. Right. You can't have them. But he could have an outstanding year. He's you know, the thing, and this is what I was telling a lot of people, but he always thinks he's in the play. You know, and when you always think you're in the play, then a lot of times you're going to make the play, but there's going to be some times where you don't. You know, there's going to be some times when maybe the ball's on the ground or maybe you're trying to force it right here. But there's going to be some point in times next year where he's got to just say, all right, they got us on this one, throw the ball away. And you know, let's go to the next play. Next play, maybe fourth down. Hey, we'll punt it or we'll go for it. So that decision-making process has got to be – and I know he grew from last year. He learned a lot about what not to do. But he's an outstanding player. He's fun to watch. Our O-line will be better this year overall. We got more depth, so hopefully that will help him.
This is better than the year one when you had 4.5 linemen?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, we had Mekhi Becton. He may have counted as two, you know.
I was calling him as 1.5.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no question. You know, with the addition of Brian Hudson, who's a starter, you know, it's a great player. I mean, we've created a lot more depth. Trevor Reed's going to be a great tackle for us. You know, so, yeah, that's going to be very beneficial. And I think we got four solid running backs, you know, that can play. And they all bring something different to the table. So, when you have those kind of weapons, and I think we're going to have, you know, everybody talks about the wide receiver. We lost two great ones, and we did. We got some more, you know, that are going to come out, and they're going to have some big years for us. So Cunningham doesn't have to do it all by himself. And I think that's, you know, the mark of a mature quarterback. So, you know, he's been in the system for a few years now, and so he should be a lot better. Distribute the football. Our defense is going to be solid and very good, and so you don't have to, man. Let's punt the ball, and we'll get the ball right back. So
you came on the show six weeks or so ago and said casually, I think we might be able to have like a top 25 defense this year. What's so different about the defense going into year three that gives you that kind of confidence?
Well, it's another year in the system, so the guys are a lot more comfortable with it. I also think the D-line is better now than since we've been here. It's not even close, in my opinion. Yaya is going to have an outstanding year. Ashton Gelott, who just power clean 405, is a true freshman. He's going to be a stud. Excited about him. We added some more depth there at D-line. We like to play a lot of guys up front. And so now when you're rotating these guys, there's not going to be much drop-off from the one guy to the next guy that are coming in the football game. That's going to help our defense. So if we can occupy these linemen, demand double teams, now, you know, C.J. Avery, Monty Montgomery, these guys are going to be able to run and make plays. You know, our corner play was very, very solid last year. Very good corner play. The big question mark is at safety. You know, we did get Duncan, who's a transfer from Georgia Southern. I think it's going to be a really, really good player. He's got a lot of experience. You know, and then the other guy, we'll see who it'll be. You know, it could be a young player. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Chandler Jones can also play safety. He can play corner and nickel, so he can do a lot for us. So it's just a lot more depth. I think overall, and then I think our D-line is going to prove to be better. And, you know, and the two things we want to do, we want to get more pressure on quarterbacks, and we got to create more turnovers. I mean, we dropped 6 interceptions last year. We go back and watch film. They're right there, and we drop them. We got to catch them this year, and that will help in our turnover margin as well.
All right, Scott Satterfield, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the rest of the media days here.
Yep, appreciate it, Mark.
Appreciate it. All right, Marcus, there you go. Ooh. Scott Satterfield.
Good job. Definitely good job, Mark Ennis. Where's Coach Scott Satterfield getting that FaceTime in person, actually. So I guess I won't use the term FaceTime. Really quick, people. I want to clean up a Scott Satterfield tease that I made going into the break. But first, since we got Alex in here, we just have to initiate him with one hot take slash back and forth just to make his Radio 93.9 debut. Yes, it's that, Alex, people. So, Alex, say hello so we know your microphone's working.
Hey, what up, Car Nation?
Okay. Now we're rolling. Okay, so, Alex, Oklahoma, Texas, supposedly reaching out to the SEC to get into the SEC.
Absolutely.
No matter how true or not true you think it is, right? Let's just hypothetically, they're in the SEC.
All right.
At some point, we realize, Kentucky, you got to get out. Okay. You got to get out because we need to, both of these teams, and one got to go. Kentucky, you're at the ACC now. Well, Marshawn Ford, would you take UK and ACC, yes
absolutely
or no?
Absolutely, I would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Marshawn Ford, let's take it away.
All right, Marcus, appreciate it. Marshawn Ford joining us now here from ACC Football Kickoff. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm enjoying this ACC day.
I was going to ask you, do you enjoy doing these sorts of things? Were you happy when they asked you to do this?
Yeah, I was very happy. You know, I get to represent the tight end room, get to represent my family, get to represent the University of Louisville. So
how about this year, you're replacing those wide receivers that were extremely productive, and Scott keeps telling everybody, I think tight ends are going to be really good. You feel sort of a responsibility maybe sort of pick up some of that slack?
Yes, sir. You know, just in the tight end room period, you know, we got a lot of guys that can make plays. And, you know, we got a lot of guys that's going to step up this year and, you know, do whatever has to be done to get this dub when we play people. So, I look forward to, you know, being out wide and stuff like that. But I got to keep the main thing. I'm still a tight end, baby.
So earlier today when Scott was on with Diener, he said Marshawn's going to be on the field and he's going to come out when he's tired. Like, he's on the field, and he can only come out when he's tired. Is that sort of the mindset this year?
Yeah. You know, I feel like after this summer workouts, I've been in the best shape of my life, the strongest and the fastest. And, you know, endurance-wise, you know, Coach Mike, he's done a very, very, very good job of that.
We're talking with Marshawn Ford here at ACC Football Kickoff. Scott said it. C.J. Avery said it. It feels like it did in the locker room 2 years ago. That attitude just, it feels, the morale is better. Attitude seems better. Do you get that sense too? And if so, why do you think that is?
I just felt like, you know, after ending 2019, you know, everything was good until we hit the pandemic. You know, we started missing family time together. You know, we used to always go to coach's house on Thursdays and spend time, you know, do team bonding things, paintballing. And we didn't get to do that last year. We was all separated for like 3 or 4 months. And then we had to come back in June or July and try to hurry up and fit stuff in so we can get ready for fall camp in the season. And, you know, now we had the whole season to work hard. We had a whole spring, whole season, the whole summer and stuff to work on the things that we needed to work on before the season.
How different is it with everything, you know, staying the same? You know, like year three now, you know the offense. You know what they're going to asking you to do. The defense knows the defense. Like, how different are things than the way they were, you know, the previous two springs, for instance?
You know, I feel like everybody has been in the film room a lot more. So, you know, we are learning from our mistakes and, you know, making sure we don't make those mistakes again. So, you know, we can execute in the fourth quarter and to close out games that we need to close out. So
how has the era of name, image, and likeness rights, getting to, you know, participate in endorsements, that sort of thing, how has that gone for you? And then, so what are the conversations with leadership, you know, or the school and that sort of thing, how you guys are all talking about that?
You know, everybody has their own, each individually, like, deals and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as that, we keeping the main thing. You know, we worried about this season coming up and what we have to do to win games and stuff like that. So, you know, also, like, the deals aren't going to come all before the season. You know, for them deals to come, you got to make plays. So, during the season, if you want deals, that's what you got to do. But right now, you know, like I said, we keeping the main thing, worrying about this season coming up.
Who impresses you at practice?
Monty Montgomery.
Yeah?
Yeah, that dog, hey. He's a dog, man. You know, we got guys like him on that side of the ball, Kentrell Clark, Greedy,
okay,
corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good one. KD, safety. Hassan Hall, you know what I'm saying? He's getting back to what he does. And I'm very excited. Jalen Mitchell, he's a hard worker. All those guys are hard working, and it shows because when we practice, it's like, man, I like watching them guys.
So Scott, sitting here, said he thinks, you know, we could have a really good defense next year.
Yeah.
And he's like, the biggest place where it's better, he says, in the front seven, defensive line, that sort of thing. Yeah. You see a big difference?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, very big difference. You know, we got some guys coming in. You know, we got a it's going to be a true freshman, Jelati. You know, he's very strong, very athletic, versatile player. You know, we still got Yaya, TP, and stuff like that. So, you know, that front defensive line, you know, it's going to be good. And then we got linebackers, and, you know, all of those guys are like vets now. You know, they all got the reps, they all watch the film, they all know what to do now, so they don't make those mistakes when it comes to game time.
What have the conversations been like? Because every school's had to address it in some way or another about making sure players vaccinated so that we can play the season with no restrictions, that sort of thing. And how's that going with you guys?
So basically, our trainers and Coach Satt told us, you know, if we want things to go back to normal, like 2019, how we had fun, you know, we're going to have to get vaccinated. And, you know, a lot of guys thought about it, including myself. I thought about it for a little while. And, you know, I was just like, you know, I think – If I get the shot, then, you know, maybe I'll impact others to get it. You know, maybe they'll, you know, follow and get the shot. Like, I think me and Malik had got the shot at the same time. So when we all got the shot, it was just a lot of guys starting to get the shot. You know, we still had the guys who, you know, who were still thinking about the shot because, you know, their family health, you know, they got health problems and stuff like the heart problems and stuff like that. So, you know, those type of guys, you know, they just want to learn a lot more about it before they get it, and I understand. So. Yeah.
How does Malik seem different this year? Scott says that he seems like he's in a good space. You're catching passes from him. How's he look? Yeah.
No, he looks great. You know, you could tell. He's been in the film room a lot more. You know, we sat down. We've actually been in the film room. So, you know, like whatever he sees, he's talking to me about. That's what I see, and I'm like, okay, I understand what you're saying now. So, you know, as long as we're all on the same page as far as receivers, tight ends, running backs, O line, you know, we all on the same page. You know, and we play as one, then we're gonna be hard to beat.
I know you said I'm still a tight end. That means you got to get in there and block. You mash, run plays, that sort of thing. I mean, how fun is it being a tight end in this offense that really uses it, really emphasizes
Man,
it?
It's fun. Like, I get to do a lot of things, you know, run routes. I get to block linebackers, block DNs. You know, I get to do a lot of things. So it's pretty fun. And, you know, I never take this for granted, you know. A guy that has walked on and stuff like that, you know, Everybody thought that I wasn't going to be here. You know, I wasn't going to be able to do those type of things. So, you know, I keep grinding, keep being humble, keep grinding, you know what I'm saying, then it'll be all right.
All right, Marshawn Ford, thank you so much for making time for us, man. Enjoy the rest of your time here, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right, Marcus, there you go, buddy.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Well, once again, it's not Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage. We are here at ACC football kickoff. They'll be back with you in just a second. But joining us now, the quarterback for Louisville, Malik Cunningham. Malik, I've asked everybody else, do you enjoy doing these things, these media day appearances, stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, I love showing my personality and getting to answer you guys' questions, even though you guys can be harder sometimes. But, hey, that's part of your job, and I enjoy it.
Well, good. All right, let's start with the off-the-field stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Name, image, likeness, you get to do endorsements, that sort of thing. How is that?
Yeah.
How's that the process been for you? Is it a distraction? You enjoy it?
I mean, I've got a little marketing team together, so those guys handle all of my stuff. So they just tell me what I need to do or how I need to do it, so I can keep my focus on football season and the team and our goals. So I've basically been putting that in the rearview mirror and letting my mom and those guys handle that. So I've been locked in.
So sort of
minimizes the amount of like time you sort of have to commit to and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So whenever I do get time, I'll talk on the phone with those guys and see where we at with that type of stuff. But they don't really be on me too much because they know the main thing. I got to keep the main thing. That's why I told those guys from day one when this thing first happened. Because those NIL deals are going to come once you're winning. If you're not winning, those guys are not going to want no deals with you. So we're trying to keep that, like I said, keep the main thing.
Are you tired of being asked about the turnovers from a year ago yet?
Yeah, but I answer all the questions, man. I'm here for you guys. So yeah.
What's sort of conversations with you know coaches about that? Sort of what you can do about that, if anything? I mean, it's just
like I always say, you can't really do much about turnovers. Those things are just a mental part of the game. And like I said, Joey, it's not really a drill you can do for turnovers. It's spending extra time in the film room and just building chemistry with those guys, the new receivers that we have, and those guys believing in me. And I believe in those guys to make the plays, and that's what we're going to do, looking forward.
Well, let's go there. You have to replace two extremely productive wide receivers.
Yeah.
What's it? I'm sure they're going to be relying on you, so the experienced guy, the quarterback. Who impresses you at the wide receiver position that's going to have to step in there?
Honestly, the whole group has impressed me. Those guys stepping into a role where they know they got to make plays, and without those guys, we're not going to be able to – move the ball downfield, and they know without me, they're gonna need me to. I'm gonna need those guys to make plays for me, and they're gonna need me as well, like vice versa. Like I said, the whole group, and we're adding Marshawn to that group. It's gonna be really nice to see those guys show you guys what they're capable of.
Who impressed you in the spring? So you've been called on there
in the spring. I'll definitely say Justin Marshall, Tyler Harrell, Josh Johnson, Jordan. Just one more, Shy. Coming in, grad transfer. He's bringing a lot of experience to the room, a lot of experience to those guys. He actually played quarterback. It's always good for another quarterback to be thrown to another quarterback because they kind of know where you're coming from. And Marshawn, and actually our running backs, they got soft hands too. They can catch the ball. And so it's going to be good to see those guys come out the backfield and catch some passes.
Is that something, an emphasis maybe this year, increasing throwing the balls to the running backs? They haven't done it a lot of that.
Yeah, most definitely. Just checking the ball down and not forcing the ball. That's another thing I got to not really work on, just take it to mind. When something's not open, it's okay with throwing the ball away. That's what I got better at towards the end of the year. And just living to see another down because the running backs check down first down. That's the mindset. That's been the slogan for as long as football has been going on. And I'm going to use the running backs a lot this year.
How's the relationship with your new quarterback coach? You had Frank Ponce for the first couple of years here, but
Pete's been around ever since those guys have been around. So me and Pete had a little relationship before that. He actually played the position in the ACC as well. And he knows what he's talking about. He knows a lot of ball. He's a good guy to be around. And you can learn so much from him because he was just in our shoes a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And so, I've been leaning on Pete for a lot. He's been teaching me a lot, footwork-wise, and just mentally, the mental part of the game, just breaking the game down, making it more simpler as it can be, and not trying to complicate things. And he's been good to us, him and Fitch.
So Scott said one of the big things he did want to get sort of through to you was, like, you can just throw this one away, or, like, you don't have to try to – you can just accept it, and we'll move on to the next down sometimes. I mean, is that hard for you? Is that just sort of not the mindset?
I would definitely say when I was younger, just always make a play. That's what I was taught. If something breaks down, try to make a play, that type of stuff goes away once you get older because those guys just as fast as you in college, and you just got to know what to do with the ball. I mean, like you said, when it's not there, throw it away. It's okay with that. The coach is okay with that, and that's what I have to do better.
All right, Malik Cunningham, thank you so much for making time for us as well here. Enjoy the rest of your time here.
Yes, sir, you too. Thank you.
All right. We will go ahead and throw it to commercial here. Let you guys take a break, get reset with Marcus Maven, Middays with Marcus Maven. Be right back.